In the name of Allah, the most merciful and kind. This chapter of The Sound of Sirrah contains vivid descriptions of acts of violence. Listener discretion is advised.
Abu Bakr ibn Abi Quhafa groaned. Everything hurt. His head was throbbing, and there were little stars bursting across his eyes. He didn't know where he was or how he got there. He tried to move.
Let go of me! Leave me alone!
Abu Bakr recognized the voice coming behind him.
Talha? Talha!
Abu Bakr, is that you?
Yes, Talha. What happened?
They jumped me, Abu Bakr. I swear, I tried to fight them as best I could.
Abu Bakr's vision was still swirling, but he was aware now of his predicament. He was tied tightly, back to back, with Talha ibn Ubaidillah. They were both bound to each other on the floor of some kind of room. It seemed familiar to Abu Bakr, but the pain in his head prevented him from placing it.
Can you break free?
I've tried, but the harder I pull, the more it digs into you. You were unconscious. I didn't want to hurt you.
Abu Bakr became aware of the rope burns on his arms and ribs. Now he was aware they weren't alone. There were shadows of people in the corners of the room.
Wait, I recognize this place.
Abu Bakr?
Hello, Abu Bakr.
Father.
Abu Quhafa lit a lamp next to Talha and Abu Bakr. The chief of the Banu Taim was old and stoic. The light of the lamp cleared the fog of Abu Bakr's head. This was his father's house. The people around the room, his clan, the Banu Taim. He wasn't in enemy territory after all. He was home.
Nasty bruise he gave you. I was beginning to think he had killed you.
Father, what is the meaning of this? Why are we bound like this?
You demand questions of me, Atiq. This religion of yours really does turn a man against his father.
Is that what this is about? That we became Muslims? Mother, stop crying.
Father, please. This religion poses no threat to you or our family. Leave Talha and I to our worship of Allah. For you is your religion and for us our own.
Son, let me tell you something no one else will. We are Banu Taim. We're not warriors, we're not wealthy, and our honor in Mecca is fragile at best. Your Banu Hashim friend struts around Mecca because he has the support of his powerful clan. But you act like you have that same privilege, but you do not. My ability to protect you, both of you, is only as strong as our clan's ability to defend itself. And the hard truth, Abu Bakr, is this. No one is going to risk their life or blood for you two.
Fine, don't protect us. We don't need you. We have Allah. That's all we need.
Silence. You have always brought us great honor, Abu Bakr. Generous, honest, a successful merchant, and a master of lineage. But this rebellion will undo all of that. No Arab will spare you just because you sell the finest textiles. If you speak heresy, they won't hesitate. They will kill you.
Father, what heresy have I committed? I never worshipped your idols. Not since I was a boy and you sat me in front of a statue. I knew from that time that it was all in vain.
Enough of this, Atiq. Enough of reciting Quran while the women and children join your weeping. Enough of following Muhammad around wherever he goes. You shall leave Islam. This instant.
I shall not.
I was not requesting.
If you were going to beat us, you would have done so by now.
I am an old man, Abu Bakr. I have not the strength nor the stomach to beat my own son. That's why I called in an expert.
A figure arose from the Banu Taim spectators. He slithered towards the two of them and flicked a small metal object. After a second glance, Abu Bakr recognized it as Talha's ruby ring.
Your dad's right. That is a nasty bruise. Shame. I wanted it to be nastier.
Nawfal.
You wretched scorpion. What's the matter? Enjoyed torturing Zubair so much that you decided to make a career out of it?
Unlike your chief, I have no problem beating your pretty boy rich face. So go ahead, say something else. I'll paint this floor with your blood.
Nofel, you are from the Banu Asad. What does this have to do with you?
Your daddy didn't want you to be humiliated publicly. Even though I think every one of you cruddy Muslims should be cooked alive. But I owe your clan a few favors. And when he said you might need some convincing, well, I figured I can be pretty convincing.
So Big Nelfin got offered to beat up two merchants and he jumped on it.
You probably couldn't contain your excitement, you sadistic piece of—
And that's another one. Pretty boy's gonna look mighty ugly when I'm done.
Nofel, listen. We are not your enemies. Your sister, Khadija, is married to the Prophet. She was the very first one to answer his call. You could be a Muslim too, Nofel.
Listen here, you little swine. My sister made a mistake marrying Muhammad. And if you ever ask me to join his hooligan club again, I'll punch your stinking teeth out.
I wouldn't waste my time on him, Abu Bakr. After what he did to Zubair, the Prophet called him the Shaitan of the Quraysh.
Devil, eh? I like the sound of that. Has a nice ring to it. The Devil of Quraysh.
Last chance, Abu Bakr. Break off with Muhammad. When you are older, you will thank me.
Do what you need to do.
So be it. Nofel, they're all yours.
Oh Allah, give me patience.
Boy, no patience is gonna be enough. This is gonna hurt.
Chapter 9. Until When?
By order of the clans of Quraysh, anyone caught following the religion of the sorcerer Muhammad will be severely punished. Every clan is responsible for punishing their own rebels.
Uthman ibn Affan, open this door. We know you're a Muslim.
Every master responsible for punishing his or her slaves.
Let go of me, Siba'a!
Here he is.
Habab, you were my best sword maker. You made me a fortune. But I will not tolerate any of my slaves leaving my gods.
I don't care what you tolerate. Fire is the destination of every disbeliever.
What do you want me to do with him?
So, it is fire you fear. Well, I can arrange for that. Siba, burn him.
Here is a list of known rebels. Suhaib ibn Sinan, also known as Suhaib the Roman.
Gentlemen, the store is closed for today. But we will be open at the souk first thing in the morning. Easy now. Not the face. Not the face! Ah!
Abdu'am ibn Auf.
Don't call me that. That is not my name.
You think you can insult our gods and still run your business?
Yes.
I swear by the sacred house, we will boycott you until you go bankrupt. We will reduce you to a broke tramp licking the manure off the streets.
Thad ibn Ebi Waqqas.
Yeah, get him.
Khabab ibn al-Arat.
Keep burning him! Don't let up!
Abu Bakr ibn Abi Quhafa. Talha ibn Ubaidillah.
Your hits are softer than a feather, Nofel.
You pair of pansies! I'm just getting started!
Zainab ibn Jah. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Bilal ibn Rabah.
Show them no mercy! Get moving!
And who is to blame for all of this? Who is the cause for all the problems in this city? Why, look no further than the biggest disgrace in all the lands, Muhammad ibn Abdullah.
The Prophet, peace be upon him, though protected by his uncle, Abu Talib, was still plagued with two of the worst neighbors imaginable. His uncle, Abu Lahab, on one side.
You're a liar!
Uqbah ibn Abi Mu'ayyad on the other, each taking turns dumping trash on his doorstep.
Glory to Hubal!
Uqbah cried as he threw a sheep uterus through the open window into the Prophet's cooking pot.
Oh no, not again!
The Prophet, peace be upon him, took it out on a stick and, standing at the door of his home, exclaimed angrily, Oh, Banu Abdu Manaf, what sort of protection is this? But like a viper waiting to ambush its prey, Jamil lunged out at the Prophet, peace be upon him, and strangled his neck with her palm fiber rope.
Until Muhammad gives up his claim of prophecy, until Abu Talib relinquishes his protection of him, the punishment continues.
Omar! No, please! Leave me alone!
No mercy for rebels!
Mother! Father! We have to go! They're here!
Open this door!
Come on, grab your cloaks! We'll go out the back!
Open up Omar. Now!
Mother, we have to hurry!
Omar!
Mother, please!
Ammar ibn Yasir held his mother's hands in his own.
We have to go! They'll torture us! They'll torture you!
Ammar, my son, the day you came to your father and I with Islam was the best day of my life!
Open this door!
But we knew what we were doing when we pledged our faith to Allah.
Get me an axe! I'm going to knock this door down!
Mother, we have to run. We have to.
No, my son. We have to be patient, and Allah will give us a way out.
I can't watch them hurt you again.
My son, I love you so much. I need you to be strong. As long as we have Allah, nothing can harm us.
Sumayya and Yasir hugged their son Ammar, not knowing whether they would ever be able to do it again.
Why, hello, Sumayya. Aren't you going to say salam?
May the curse of Allah be upon you, Abu Jahl.
You know, it's not very wise to insult someone that already wants to hurt you. Chain them up!
Ammar, be strong.
One day, O sons of Adnan, the greatness of our city will return by the power of Lat and Uzza. Islam will die.
Meccan outskirts. Abu Sufyan, the caravan caretaker of the Banu Umayya, squinted his eyes to try to see through the blinding rays of the noon sun. His camel was doing most of the work. He really wasn't sure where he was going. If it wasn't for the shade covering his head, the heat would have probably caused him to turn back to Mecca. Finally, he saw someone over the rocky peak of a hill.
Yeah.
Abu Sufyan grasped the hilt of his sword cautiously. Venturing this far from Mecca's borders posed a minor risk, but he had learned to always stay vigilant. His camel slowed to a trot as they neared the leather-clad figure.
Abu Sufyan?
Zuhail?
What took you so long?
Could you not have made it any harder to find this spot?
Abu Hakam was clear. He wanted this to be away from the Kaaba. And hot.
Abu Sufyan dismounted his camel.
Does he give the orders now?
He's rough around the edges, but we need a strong stance in tough times like these. Walk with me. I'll show you his little camp. I'm warning you, though. It's not pretty.
The two noblemen stepped carefully among the scorching stones and thorns. They descended a hill onto a flat plain of cracked earth.
This is where we first bring them. We tie them down and leave them out in the sun. No food or water, of course. Let them wear out with no effort on our part.
Abu Sufyan eyed a couple of Muslims with their limbs outstretched on the burning ground, their dusty faces frozen in sunburned agony.
Then we demand the typical. Leave Islam, denounce Muhammad, praise Hubal, all that good stuff.
Of course.
If that doesn't work, and it usually doesn't, then we move them on to beatings. Umar has been doing a great job on that front.
Umar ibn Khattab was drenched in sweat. His great body shook as he pummeled something into the ground.
Had enough?
No.
Leave Islam, traitor. Come back to our gods, and I shall spare you my wrath.
No!
Any luck, Umar?
These rebels are persistent, but I shall be more persistent.
Take a break, Umar. She's not going anywhere.
Very well. Rebel, know that I show no pity for you. I have only ceased beating you because I grow tired.
Allah has made you tired after what you've done to me. May Allah do the same to you.
You can see how misguided these rebels are. No matter how much you beat them, they still believe they are blessed by their God.
Umar retired to some shade and began to drink from a water skin. Abu Sufyan eyed the slave girl with astonishment. Behind her was a row of other Muslims, their faces swollen and bruised from beatings.
Did any of them, you know?
Leave Islam? No. That's when we move them on to special treatment.
Suhail led the way past a patch of thorns. There was no shade to protect them from the merciless sun here. Over a dozen Muslims were tied and bound in odd and uncomfortable positions. Some were splayed out with their bare skin on the floor, others tied to stakes in the ground. Abu Sufyan greeted the woman standing over one of the Muslims.
Umm Anmar.
Abu Sufyan.
My lady, what brings you out here today?
She pointed to the young man at her feet, tied face down on the ground, his bare back red and bloody.
My slave, Khabbab. Muhammad's corrupted him.
Still hasn't given up, has he?
No, he's stubborn. Every day he spends out here is money lost. I haven't sold a sword all week.
You're too soft on him.
Abu Jahl flickered into view like an unholy flame. His face was grim as he dragged a whip.
You can't show any mercy or compassion to these degenerates, especially the slaves. What's the crack of a whip to a slave, huh? I whip my slaves when they do exactly what I ask. No. If you want to punish them, you have to really hurt them.
I've already burned him several times. Look at his back.
Put the coals on the ground and then lay him on top of them so his weight presses against them. And try putting a hot rod on the side of his face. He doesn't need to look pretty to make swords.
Please. Leave me alone.
This is for your own good.
That's more like it.
Abu Sufyan grimaced as the smell of burnt flesh filled his nostrils. Abu Jahl surveyed the other torturers with a sense of pride.
That's my son Ikrimah giving the Roman a beating. Some of my own slaves have been helping out with the punishments, but they need some motivation every once in a while. If you keep hitting that soft, I'll set him free and put you in his place, you dog!
Is that Amr ibn Fuhayra they're hitting?
How should I know? All I know is he's a dirty Muslim. Let me show you what I'm doing to the family of Yasir.
Abu Jahl suddenly perked up as he pointed to an old man whose arms and legs were tied to four different horses.
Move! Hide!
The old man was lifted in the air as he was pulled in four different directions.
Look at him! He's gonna pop like a grape!
Father! Father! No, no, no! Please stop! Please leave him!
Abu Jahl drew a knife and lunged at Ammar, who was tied to a stake.
I can cut your tongue out right now, and Muhammad won't be here to help you. You see your father there? I can make those horses stop. You see your filthy mother buried in the sand? I can pull her out. All you have to do is say Muhammad is a false prophet, and Hubal is your god.
Ammar, your parents are suffering because of your bad choices. You're acting like you're the victim here. We can stop this at any time. Just accept our gods, and it'll be done.
No, don't listen to them, Ammar.
Ammar's mother, Sumayya, was invisible under the sand, with nothing but her dust-covered face jutting above the surface. She looked as though someone had beheaded her.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. La ilaha illallah, Muhammad.
Will you shut up?
He kicked her face.
She's really getting on my nerves.
I'll say it! Just leave them alone! Please, I'll say it!
Abu Jahl waved his hands, and Suhail calmed the horses down. Yasir descended back to the ground, tears running down his face.
Muhammad is a false prophet. Muhammad is whatever you say he is.
So, what do you think?
What do I think? Abu Hakam, look at this! We're torturing our own slaves and family members.
We're torturing rebels.
And after all this torture, is it even working?
Sure it is. You, say that Hubal is your god or I'll cut off your nose.
Hubal is my god. Hubal is my god.
See? One more heretic cured.
Is that right? You, Hubal is your god?
Yes! Just let me go!
What about that beetle crawling next to you? Is that your god?
Yes! Please, just let me go!
See? You're not curing anything. They're just saying whatever you force them to say.
Now hold on a
minute. I don't need you, with your silk robes and velvet turban, to come here and tell me how to do my job!
Come on now. We're all
And who
friends
made you
here.
The boss of all of this?
If you think you can do better, come out and stand in the sun.
Maybe I will.
Stop. Look, we have a visitor.
A man on a camel approached the torture camp. His face was swollen and bruised to a point where recognizing him was impossible until he got close enough.
They really messed you up, Abu Bakr.
I am here to buy.
We're not selling. Get your dirty hide out of here.
Abu Bakr ignored Abu Jahl.
I said I am here to buy. I have coins, I have animals, I have slaves. Whatever you need, just let these people go.
Abu Bakr went around the camp, buying whoever he could. Anmar refused to sell Khabbab, but he was still able to buy the girl Umar had been beating.
Take this witch. She is corrupted beyond repair.
As well as Amr ibn Fuhayra. Suhaib the Roman was in so much pain, he didn't even know what he was saying.
Off the mountain, so did I. Give me a mule for free.
Abu Bakr gazed over the pitiful sight of the family of Yasir. Before he even had a chance to say anything, Abu Jahl stepped in.
This lot is under the jurisdiction of the Banu Makhzum. They can't be bought or freed. I will do whatever I want to them until I deem them fit to return to society.
Abu Bakr grimly addressed the entire torture camp.
Be patient, my brothers and sisters. Your Lord will make a way out for you. Have faith.
Father, is that you?
Yes, it's me.
Abu Sufyan made himself comfortable at his daughter's home, taking off his turban and rinsing his face from the house water jug.
Did Suhail show you the Muslims?
Yes, he did. And what a sick sight it was. Beatings and burnings and all sorts of twisted machinations. They're showing little mercy to any of them, even the women.
May Allah ease their suffering.
Ramla?
Father?
Do you think you're going to be spared their fate because you're my daughter? You think they'll show you a shred of compassion if they find out you've joined Muhammad's silly religion?
I do not need their mercy. Allah is the most merciful and He will make a way out for the believers.
Ha! That's what Abu Bakr said today. You should have seen his face. More swollen than a pregnant lady's belly. From his own father, I might add.
And are you also the kind of father to torture his child?
I've kept your secret, Ramla, which is more than your God has done for you.
How could you? Allah has protected his messenger.
Abu Talib has protected your messenger. And once that senile old man dies, his nephew will be the first to go.
So is that the way of the Quraysh now, to kill anyone they dislike?
The way of the Quraysh is to obey our fathers. And if you had any sense, you'd obey yours.
Fine, then do as the other chiefs are doing. Take me out to the plains and tie me down like Sumayya. Why should I suffer less than her anyway? Because I'm from the Banu Umayya? Because I'm the daughter of Abu Sufyan? Punish me then.
Perhaps I will.
Then Allah's earth is vast, and I'll find somewhere else to worship Him.
You delusional girl. Where are you going to go? You're not a Jew or a Christian or a Zoroastrian? This religion of yours doesn't exist anywhere else. No tribe will accept you. No country will look at you. Mecca is all you have. There is no escape.
Khabbab ibn al-Arat limped down a dusty road, tears streaming down his face. The young sword maker had only been released after saying something pleasing to Anmar. The trouble was, he couldn't remember what it even was. He had fainted from the pain right after he said it. Each step he took sent jolts of torment through his triceps and calves, while his back, an unfeeling wasteland, offered no reprieve. Anmar and Abu Jahl had scorched it so thoroughly with burning coals that the flesh was reduced to a grotesque terrain of charred grooves and mangled meat. The scent of burnt flesh attracted a stray dog, which trailed behind him.
Shoo! Go away! Get away from me!
Khabbab finally approached the Kaaba. As he had hoped, he saw the Prophet, peace be upon him, there with some of the companions. Khabbab felt a strange surge of love and frustration at the sight of the Prophet, peace be upon him. There he was, sitting unharmed and relaxed with an unblemished back, while Khabbab would probably never heal from his master's maiming. Khabbab was ashamed to feel betrayal. He knew the Prophet, peace be upon him, had nothing to do with his torture, but when he had accepted Islam in the house of Arqam, he was under the impression that he had Allah on his side. But at that moment, he did not feel like he had anything other than the prospect of more pain.
O Messenger of Allah, we try not to say anything. We try to remain patient, but...
They forced us, Ya Rasulullah. They made us say evil things against you.
If they do it again, then say it again, the Prophet, peace be upon him, replied reassuringly. Khabbab took a seat next to Suhaib the Roman, who was covered in scars. Across from him was Talha and Abu Bakr, bruised and swollen from their more noble private beatings away from public view, earning them the nickname the Two Tied Ones.
It is difficult. They do not even give us water.
They torture my parents right in front of me.
The greatest reward comes with the greatest trial. When Allah loves a people, He tests them. Whoever accepts that wins His pleasure, but whoever is discontent with that earns His wrath, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said. Khabbab frowned.
Until when?
The companions looked over to Khabbab ibn al-Arat.
Khabbab?
The Prophet, peace be upon him, didn't move his back from the Kaaba or his body from the cloak he was sitting on. But he gave Khabbab a piercing gaze.
Until when? When will the victory of Allah come? Will you not pray for us? Why won't you ask Allah to help us?
Khabbab, come
on. Easy now, friend.
Do not address the Prophet in this manner.
Khabbab ignored the indignation of the companions. He continued to look into the calm eyes of the Prophet, peace be upon him.
Allah can do anything. He called us and we answered Him. So then why? Why doesn't He save us? Why does He not give us victory?
Listen, said the Prophet, peace be upon him, the single word cutting through Khabbab's rant like a blade. The Rasul, peace be upon him, leaned forward, radiating a sternness that stopped Khabbab cold. He instinctively shrank back. Among the nations before you, a believing man would be put in a ditch that was dug for him, and a saw would be put over his head, and he would be cut into two pieces, yet that would not make him give up his religion. His body would be combed with iron combs that would remove his flesh from the bones and nerves, yet that would still not make him abandon his religion. By Allah, this religion will prevail, until a traveler from Sana'a to Hadramaut will fear none but Allah or a wolf for his sheep. But you are an impatient people, the Prophet, peace be upon him, declared. Khabbab lowered his head in humility, tears dripping onto his lap.
O Messenger of Allah, curse the infidels, curse the disbelievers.
I have not been sent as a curser. I have been sent as a mercy, the Prophet, peace be upon him, replied. He touched Khabbab gently and recited, and we have not sent you except as a mercy to the worlds. The companions huddled around Khabbab and the Prophet, peace be upon him. He comforted their agonized hearts and bodies with his words. O Allah, help Khabbab. O Allah, help him. That night, Khabbab returned empty-handed from another customer. The sword he had sold conveniently remained with the purchaser, but when Khabbab asked to be paid, he was told, Muslims don't get paid. That meant that when he returned, he would get double the torture, once for being a Muslim, and once for getting ripped off because he was a Muslim.
Give me strength, O Allah. Please protect me from their fire.
As he approached Anmar's home, he heard a bone-chilling screech. He stopped in his tracks. He poked his head through the home. And there she was. The woman who had bought him when he was a child, forced him to craft swords, and burnt him when he accepted Islam. She was tied by the wrists, tears running down her face.
We are trying our best, miss, but the symptoms you are feeling are quite severe.
I don't know what happened. I was fine, and then my head, it hurts.
I understand, and your tribe has asked the gods to heal you, but it seems they haven't answered you yet, so this is the only way to make the pain go away.
Khabbab and Anmar locked eyes for 1 second, her pupils dilating in comprehension.
This is for your own good.
Before the medicine man brought a white-hot rod to her head.
No! No!
And everything went black.
Then what happened?
I took the jug and finally gave it to her. You should have seen it when she saw it was empty.
Water! Please, water!
You should have told her to ask her god to give her water!
Hey, boys, check out who's here.
The Prophet, peace be upon him, was making his way to the Kaaba. The chief shouted obscene insults at him.
Go back to your cave and leave us alone.
There goes the biggest liar in Arabia. He is a lunatic.
May I introduce you to a man who prophesies that if you get torn to pieces, you will somehow come back to life.
The Prophet, peace be upon him, ignored the chiefs, leaving them under their shade as he prayed in front of the Kaaba.
Look at him. Talking to his invisible god.
He touched the black stone. The day when he had led the chiefs to place it in its corner felt like a different lifetime. Then he began to circle around the Kaaba.
You're a disgrace to your clan, Muthambem. You're a disgrace to your tribe, your city, and all Arabs.
A disgrace to Abdul Muttalib.
Hey, Ibn Abi Kabsha, I'm worshipping my gods. Why doesn't Allah stop me, huh?
The Prophet, peace be upon him, acted as though they weren't there. He finished his first circle and started his second, but as soon as he was within earshot, they started again.
What gives you the gall to walk around freely? I ought to shank you right here in broad daylight!
Yeah, that would teach ya.
We don't want Muslims here!
Yeah, that's right, Akbar.
Still, he ignored them. Al-As ibn Wa'il turned to his cronies and raised his voice.
Poor Muhammad is going to die one day and nobody will inherit his nonsense. He doesn't have any sons now, does he? Oh, that's right. His little baby died when he was barely old enough to wipe the dribble from his chin. His lord has left him completely cut off.
The Prophet, peace be upon him's heart, was beating quickly. He was finding it very difficult to concentrate.
You know, I really don't know what I'm going to do this evening. There are just so many Muslims to kill and torture.
Save some for me. I want to hear them scream.
I'm probably going to set Samaya on fire. Or maybe I'll cut off her lousy son's ears.
Wait till you see what I'm going to do to Bilal.
The third circle. The Prophet, peace be upon him, tried his best not to react to their insults. But even a distance away, Uthman ibn Affan could see the Prophet's anguish laid bare on his face.
You are the most insignificant...
Insane! Disgusting!
Ridiculous traitor!
Lousy son of a...
Dead man walking...
Two diamond bleeding head...
Liar!
Liar!
Liar! Liar!
The Prophet, peace be upon him, snapped, pivoting sharply towards the Hatim, where the Quraysh lounged in mockery. The smug jeers and grins vanished from their faces. By Allah, you will not cease until the punishment of Allah descends upon you, he declared, his voice steady and calm. Perhaps it was the fact that he did not raise his voice, or the unwavering certainty in his gaze, or the weight of his words. Words they knew had never been empty or idle. Whatever it was, a chill crept into their veins, and an unspoken dread gripped their hearts. His words had pierced their cold indifference and instilled a fear they could not shake. The fear of God. Listen to me, O Quraysh. By the one in whose hand is my soul, I bring you slaughter, he said. Every one of them was trembling now. Finally, Walid ibn Mughira uttered softly,
You may leave us, O Abu Qasim, for by Allah, you have never been an ignorant man.
You're listening to The Sound of Sirah, brought to you by Islam by Touch.